We'll find out a bit more today about the requirements in our Montana Constitution when it comes to drawing up our U.S. congressional districts. That's the process we're discussing today with Republican member of the Districting and Apportionment Commission, Dan Stusik. After a short delay in getting these census figures county by county, and then several weeks of public input, we have 9 maps out of more than 200 submitted by the public that made the final cut in the process to designate 2 Montana congressional districts. There's more public input continuing on here. We'll learn about that as well. And what happens next leading up to the all-important 2022 congressional election. Dan Stusik here today on Voices of Montana. We are looking at these maps, and we've been talking about the Districting and Apportionment Commission, the Redistricting Commission, that's trying to decide how, first of all, it's going to be these 2 congressional seats. Now, Montana has won won back, I should say. Our population has grown back, and so it's been like 30 years since we lost that second congressional House seat back in the 1990 census. Well, there's been a lot of talk about it since then. Let's just get right to it with our guest here today, a friend of mine. I've known him for quite a while. He's a Grizz fan. We did chat a little bit off air, lamented that loss to Eastern Washington. Woe is us. Dan Stusik, a Republican member of that commission. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, Tom, good morning. Yeah, well, happy to move on from that topic. But I'm glad to be with you this morning and chatting about some of the work that we're doing, and it's really heating up here over the month of October.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You do wear those Grizz wins and losses on your sleeve a little bit, my friend. Which is good, right? Let's have some passion. And I think Montanans have shown that they've had passion over this process, right? This districting process.
Absolutely, as you mentioned, Tom, there were over 200 maps submitted. Even after the deadline, people continue to submit thoughts to us. We've had very a hefty amount of public comment in our in-person meetings, on Zoom, et cetera, and I expect that to only continue. And it's exciting. I mean, just a little bit of background. We're the first state ever to go from 2 congressional seats from losing our second seat to regaining it again, from going a single member district to getting that second seat that Montana last had in 1992. So it's exciting, and the participation has been great. And we have a deadline of mid-November to get this to Montana Secretary of State, and then to see where these lines fall.
All right, mid-November, and there's still a public process going on. We'll talk about that. But that deadline, it came up rather quick, and a part of this is the census figures for the counties, which were very key in this, came about a little bit slowly, right? Have you guys made up that lost time?
Yeah, absolutely. This should have been something that was done, earlier this year. Usually you get the data in April, but we did not receive it until August due to the COVID-19 delays and the delays of the census and the data. Then change in administration, et cetera. So we didn't, rather than April, we received it in August and received it on August 15th. And per our Montana Constitution, we have 90 days from the official receipt of that data to file the districts with the Montana Secretary of State. And that's what puts us at the November 15th. I do feel like we've made up that time. It's not going to hinder us. It's a lot different than legislative districting, drawing 150 legislative seats, and we're really drawing one line that separates the state in two. So thankfully, that has allowed us to move a little bit more quickly. That said, we did have a meeting this Tuesday, just a few days ago, where we consolidated that list of over 200 maps to sort of 9 finalists that people can take a look at and comment on. And our next meeting is October 19th, Tuesday. So people literally have 2 weeks to develop some thoughts. They can comment on mtredistricting.gov. They can view interactive versions of the maps. They can scroll in and look at that boundaries and, see which counties are in, maybe which streets are in. You can get a lot of detail and comment on that mtredistricting.gov website over the next 2 weeks, and you can sign up to comment on Zoom on the 19th. Then later that week, we expect to sit down, huddle up in the state capitol, and decide ultimately what that'll look like.
I appreciate that. And so I'm just going to roll over it again before I get back to questions about the map here. The public process has been pretty rigorous up to this point. And I got to hand it to folks. So, you know, there were 200 some. I got in there when those were released a couple of weeks ago, looked at them. Not all of them, obviously, but look, there was a lot of thoughtfulness that went into it. And there's also, you just can't do this without getting into the numbers here. And so a lot of people did that. And so kudos. That rigorous public process does continue, as you mentioned. So just to go over it again, you have until mid-November for you guys to make a decision. But now it's like, what, we got 2 weeks for the public then to weigh on the 9 maps that, let's see, 4 from the Republicans, 5 from the Democrats, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get into that process here, too. But just to reiterate that, folks can still, in fact, now is an important time, as important of a time to get in there and comment, right?
Yes, yesterday was the legislative services, the great staff that works with us on the committee, the commission, had put the maps onto the website I just mentioned, mtredistricting.gov. And now as of yesterday afternoon, people can go in and see the comments, comment on their own, you know, like maps, dislike maps, all of those features are available. And yes, before you had to, you know, admittedly be kind of tech savvy and get into public software and spend some time drawing districts of your own to submit that. Now, you know, you can, it opens it up, I think, to a lot more individuals who can, you know, who don't have to spend as much time or use the technology. You can just kind of weigh in with your comments. Either, you know, you can mail them in to the legislature. You can sign up to comment on the 19th. You can show up in person. And you can comment on the maps individually via the website. So, yes, we have that till October 19th. And then after that, then we'll probably the 21st and the 22nd, we'll look to develop a sort of a tentative final map. And then we'll likely, it's scheduled to have a hearing on October 30th on that final proposal.
All right. Just to kind of, Dan Stusik is with us here, one of two Republican members of the Montana Districting and Apportionment Commission. And there are two Democratic members on there. And there's also one, I'm going to say, you know, the chairman is supposed to be a nonpartisan person selected by the Montana Supreme Court. I think we can look, and you don't have to comment on this, I think we can look back and historically say that chairman person selected by the Montana Supreme Court has not necessarily been nonpartisan. I like the fact that, and this is, gets a little bit into the background here, but Sheila Stearns was originally named to that position. She had to resign from the committee because of health issues. I was just super excited about that, not because that she is on the right or on the left, politically speaking, but that she has just a ton of credibility and has shown balanced nonpartisanship throughout her career, mostly in education. So now the commission is led by Marilyn Smith, and she is an associate professor at the University of Montana and also a civil prosecutor for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. I know you don't want to necessarily comment on that, but that's part of the background here that is interesting about this commission. Let's go into these maps right now. Your top of mind thoughts. Obviously, there's some that you're going to favor. In fact, if I recall correctly, Marilyn Smith had to make tie-breaking votes on all of these maps, and she just said, well, let's get them all out there, right?
That's how it turned out, Tom. Absolutely. And we were voting on the proposals, and it proposed that we push all four, all 9 of them forward together. However, my colleague, Jeff Esterman, and I looked at the proposals put forward by the Democrats on the commission, and we simply just don't feel like those meet the requirements of Montana's Constitution, especially and most importantly on compactness. And if you look at the maps, and then actually add some context, then they voted against our maps saying that ours weren't competitiveness. So I'll get into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the maps online, the Republican maps are 1, 3, 5, and 7, and the Democratic maps are the even numbers, and then number 9, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. And you will see some very clear, distinct differences in the proposals, and that's not a coincidence. Republicans on the proposal, my colleague Jeff Essman and I proposed maps that generally divided the state in the east-west divide according to what we thought makes sense for Montana. My first proposal I led off the meeting with was one that drew one north-south line that just was as even of an east-west split as you geographically could get in Montana. It's a straight line and down to one person deviation in the population.
Wow.
So as perfect a population as you could get. And it only split two counties. It split the very far west of Gallatin and Cascade counties, only about 7% of the population. So it was pretty, it's the most compact map, and it only split two counties in a very small way. And then there was one that was a Rocky Mountain Front map where it generally ran around the Rocky Mountain Front, separated the mountains from the plains. And that was a very compact, equal population map as well. And the other two were similar versions of those. So the Democratic maps were very, very different. If you look at them, they all were somewhat, they were designed to allow Democrats to win one of the two congressional seats. They were not designed with Montana's geography in mind, historical precedent in mind, or any, you know, transportation routes or anything that really made sense. I mean, one map would make you drive from Ravalli County up into northwest Montana over to, you know, Broadus or Ekalaka, but you couldn't drive I-90 because that was in a second congressional district. Their maps are all, they carve out Republican counties, Jefferson County, Broadwater County, Marr County, in very conspicuous ways. And then there's one map that is an east-west split, if you look at it, but it very clearly scoops out, like with a spoon, the city of Kalispell from Flathead County.
Hey, Dan, I know. We're going to come back after a break here because there's more to talk about here. I want to go into the requirements of the Montana Constitution because it does seem like the Democratic commissioners really put that competitiveness at the very top of the list, and it may not even be in the Constitution to be on the list. Back in a bit.
2021 is a Montana brand re-record year. If you would like to keep or use your brands for the next 10 years, they must be re-recorded before the end of the year. Brands not re-recorded by December 31st will be inactive, and there is no grace period. The brand re-record fee is $175. Brands can be re-recorded easily, online, by mail, or in the office in Helena. For questions, visit liv.mt.gov or email brands@mt.gov.
Ryan Bennett with Northern News Network headlines. Upcoming, a judge puts a temporary halt to a Montana abortion law. A Montana energy company fined for environmental and safety violations, and an epidemiologist in the state health department are at odds over a state policy on school masking. We'll have a little bit more in just a bit here on the Northern News Network with Brian Bennett. Dan Stusik back here on Voices of Montana. He's the Republican member of the Montana Districting and Apportionment Commission. I'm Tom Schultz, and it's good to have you here. Again, it's 866-627-5483 or 781-627-5483. Have you gotten a look at those maps? Have you dug into some of the numbers? How involved are you in this process? It's critically important because they will be drawing, but it's us, it's Montana, it's the public, drawing these maps to seat a second, first and second congressional district. We're going to have, we're going to double our population in the U.S. House of Representatives, which is pretty cool. Real vital. So Dan, thanks again for being here. I appreciate that. I know there's a lot of work involved in this and there's still time for the public to get involved, as we talked about earlier. I want to go back to something you said. According to the requirements of the Montana Constitution, what does the Montana Constitution then require when it comes to this process? And it's also a bit different, I think, than the congressional process.
Absolutely. This process is guided by four general guidelines in the Montana Constitution and U.S. Constitution. They have to be as equal as practicable in population. And if they're not exactly equal, you have to justify why that's the case. So that makes sense. One person, one vote. The second one is they have to be contiguous. So every part of the district has to touch another. You cannot, you know, pick and choose certain segments and then, you know, call them a district if they're not connected. A third piece is the U.S. Constitution Voting Rights Act. You can't openly discriminate against minorities, majority-minority populations. That does not come into play in Montana for the congressional seat just because our minority populations are not large enough to represent, to elect their own member anyway. That will come into play for our legislative seats next year, so stay tuned. And then the fourth one, the one that they all fail to meet, is compactness. And, you know, is the district compact? And when you look, you'll see that the Republican proposals are much more compact than the Democrat proposals. You know, the Democrats have some that meet that more than others, but there's certainly some that fail that eye test even. And you mentioned, well, as we're talking about criteria, those are mandatory criteria. There are, you know, something that used to be called discretionary. We use goals for districts that are a secondary criteria that are discretionary. And those are, no plan may be drawn to unduly favor a political party. You should look to minimize dividing cities, towns, counties, reservations, etc. You should look to keep communities of interest intact. And we have a whole range of communities of interest you could look at. And then there's a new one that's on there that says the commission may consider competitiveness of districts when drawing lines. Just a very general, bland statement there saying you may consider competitiveness. So as we're going about this process, we didn't support the Democratic proposals because we didn't feel like they met the mandatory constitutional requirement of compactness. They didn't support our proposals because they didn't think we met the ACE final and new discretionary proposal of that you might consider of compactness. And so there is a wide range there on the legal. I won't go into much more of the legal background, but on the preferences that people have, I feel like they are only looking at political data when you look at their maps and you look at the numbers. And I believe that violates the bullet point of no plan may be drawn to unduly a favor of a political party. And if you look at our maps, they make sense geographically, historically. Your first thought wouldn't be these benefit the Republicans. Your first thought would be these make sense to me.
Dan, I appreciate that. Dan Stusik, again, a Republican member of the Montana Districting and Apportionment Commission. And this is where, just speaking personally, I've had a rub about this and then even talked about it at one point on the air, specifically the may consider competitiveness. There, I don't know, maybe it's something that you don't want to get into, but there may be a legal challenge against that criteria. Because I think that is what leads to gerrymandering in this process. Let's see. I got to take a headline break. We're going to pick up a call here, and we'll come on back. We got more to talk about here because we haven't really unpacked these maps just a little bit. We have, but want to take a look at some of the Republican proposals and the Democratic proposals, and maybe try to spell them out for you. I will point people to the MontanaDistricting.gov. website to get that. Also, Tom Lutich from the Billings Gazette did a good article on this a couple of days back, and it might be easier for you to access that, or I'm not sure if you got a subscription to that, but there's some background information too on the Billings Gazette that does have those maps on it. All right, so more ahead here as we talk about this. It's critical for Montana. First, though, let's catch some headlines with Brian Bennett. All right, welcome back. Again, it's 866-627-5483 or text message at 781-627-5483. Still a lot to talk about here regarding this, but I think it was good to get those requirements from the Montana Constitution. And that is Dan Stusik, our guest here, Republican member of the Montana Districting and Apportionment Commission, detailed there are goals or other discretionary criteria here, too. So we got that unpacked a little bit, Dan. I want to ask this question, and maybe you might not have any response to it. Is there a process for a legal challenge if there are folks who feel like this competitiveness of the districts violates the other goal of to unduly to not unduly favor political parties and is not found in the Constitution?
Great point. That is certainly an issue that always and increasingly lurks behind any of the states that are working on this process. There were three different states, I believe, that had to redraw. They had court redrawn maps at the end of the last decade based on the last census. And so it's becoming increasingly litigious. And in Montana, we want to draw that. There's nothing to preclude that from happening here. We want to draw maps, a map that would withstand any challenges like that. So there's certainly nothing ripe to propose a lawsuit on or an intent to sue. However, it is certainly in the back of folks' minds, and it's been mentioned at a couple of our commission meetings that we want to draw something that withstands those challenges and that makes sense and meets the mandatory criteria. And I hope that we do so that we could avoid, a challenge from groups on either side.
You've expressed some concern about some of these democratically proposed maps. And again, folks can take a look at them and you guys can validate those concerns or question them. What would be some of the opposition to your maps?
Well, the main opposition to our maps, I'd like to dig into a little bit of competitiveness too, but the main opposition to our maps is that they don't meet, according to only Democrats I've seen comment on this, is that they don't meet this quote-unquote competitiveness standard.
Okay.
that they feel is fair.
And that's the standard in question. Okay.
And that's the standard in question. In other states, Colorado has eight congressional seats, and so they draw maps that are sort of four Democrat, three Republican, one swing district. So in those states, you can have sort of a more proportional look at this. In Montana, you have two seats. So they're either, it's not like you can just game this out across a state with a large population. We have two seats here. And, I would want to speak to the competitiveness because I mentioned the straight up and down line earlier. Mm-hmm. That is, if you look at CP1, that is a map that Governor Bullock would have won in the 2000. He would have won the Western District by 8 points in the 2016 governor's race. Senator Tester would have won the Western District by 6 points in the 2018 Senate race. And Senator Tester would have won the Eastern District in the 2018 Senate race. Governor Bullock would have only by less than half a percentage point, would have lost the second or the Eastern District in the 2016 governor's race. So I guess that's a big sticking point here is Montanans, as we know, every election is different. Every candidate is different and turnout is different. So a lot of these national groups that will purport to run this data, they're using their partisan voting index. They only look at...
Okay, stand by, Dan. We won't have time to fully develop that. Let's take a break, and sure, we'll come on back and make sure we get to that with more Voices here in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Thinking about a career change? Now's a great time to take advantage of short-term training at Miles Community College. Classes are still available in both CDL, Commercial Driver's License, and CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant, with lecture portions available online or through distance learning. Classes begin October 27th, so don't wait. Enroll today at milescc.edu. Miles Community College. Start here, go anywhere.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today. From the Northern News Network, a shout out to our friend Mike Sanders, who's just down the road here. We're based in Billings, heard statewide. Appreciate you joining us for all those years. Mike says, this goes back a little ways, but he says, no, you're not the fastest hour because it's not a full hour. It's about 54 minutes in radio. And essentially the total content time minus my bad clown jokes
It boils down to a little bit less than that, even. But a shout out, Mike. The fastest 54 minutes in radio will continue on here. Going 406 in next week. And it's cool. The Toll Rope Tour just gets into your heart. And we're going to be talking to some folks who are just heartfelt about their communities in Miles City on Wednesday, Baker on Thursday, and Glendive on Friday. It's going to be real cool. So go to our website and check that out. Nominate a Toll Rope Hero. That's somebody who deserves a pat on the back, probably doesn't really want one or need one, just doing the right thing for the right reason. But we want to recognize them because they're making that difference in the near horizon. And so please go voicesofmontana.com, or you can just search Toll Rope Tour and nominate. And if you do nominate, your name's going to be thrown into the hat for this Bad Boy Zero Turn Mower, which is pretty awesome. Please do that. Okay, back with Dan Stusik here, Republican member of the Montana Districting and Apportionment Commission. Dan, I appreciate that. So we rolled through some of the Montana Constitution requirements, the discretionary. I keep pointing people to these maps because it's hard to draw the picture. But there's two Republican members, two Democratic members, and one presumed nonpartisan person who was the chairman of that commission who breaks all the ties. We've addressed that a little bit earlier. These maps, if I'm trying to draw a picture for some folks, the Republican maps are they've kind of relied on the traditional east-west split in the state. That makes a lot of sense for Montanans, both how it in compactness, in contiguousness, and also in communities of interest. The Democratic maps, I can look at three of the five here. They're bubbled a handful of counties in southwestern Montana all the way to perhaps Livingston. So that's just to try to give folks an idea of that. We cut you off last time with that break here. I want to go ahead and continue that conversation regarding the consideration of competitiveness in this criteria.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I'll be quick because I don't want to belabor the point, too. It does get technical, but some of these national outlets and the Democrats, they're only using like 2020 presidential and 2020 data for the most part on these elections. And that was an outlier, the best year for Republicans ever. Mm. And even then, one of the districts they draw, the wild kind of southern route one, would have been Bullock plus six in the 2020 election. Mm-hmm. And he lost by 10 points statewide in that district. So, yeah. For example, their districts, Senator Tester would have won most of them by about 15 to 20 points. Governor Bullock by 18 points. So these districts, if they were looking for competitiveness, they could have drawn something that looked and made much more sense. These are, these are actually Democratic, I would put forward maps or to essentially guarantee a Democrat in a Republican seat or in a Western seat, that is.
Yeah.
If you just use 2020, that was an outlier. Generally, we've elected Democrats in the past, most notably those two I mentioned, Governor Bullock and Senator Tester in very recent elections. And to only use 2020, I think Montanans would see that as, wait a minute, there's obviously something going on here. In our districts, they could be won by either party at either time. If the Democrats had good candidates and ran good campaigns, I believe that both districts would be competitive.
And maybe
in theirs.
And maybe even had good theirs, policies, too.
Or good policies, yeah. In theirs, it's interesting. The Democratic Party is not weighed in any of this. They're having other groups associated with them do trainings and weigh in, because I think that they don't want to have to admit that they're abandoning a lot of their folks, their folks on tribal reservations in the Northeast Montana, these smaller Democratic counties, to say, hey, you know what, you're never going to have a possibility of a Democrat winning that election. And I think our proposals would bring forward would both parties would be allowed to be competitive in both districts at all times?
Well, and I think it's come to this point, and it's sad, but I've mentioned it before. There are certain members on this commission who've been there the third go around, and there's too much. When you look at these numbers, you're already admitting I'm playing politics with this process. But I think it's fair that they could say Republicans or Democrats, it doesn't matter who's in charge. There's always some political considerations in this. I know that you guys are trying to do your best to remove those. So that's why it's important for the public to weigh in. Okay, if look at this, and it's important to get that information out. We have invited some of the Democratic members on the program as well, and so we'll continue to do that and have a look from their perspective. Got one real quick call here from Casey, sure, listening in Great Falls and KQDI 1450 AM, the talk of the town. Casey, you're on Voices of Montana with Dan Stusik.
Yeah, I wanted to make a quick comment and then encourage your representative there to stay true to the mandate that he's been given. I think it's been my experience, similar to a lawsuit, that if you have the facts and the data on your side, generally the other side doesn't, and perhaps is even guilty of those tactics, is use the tactics of emotional, subjective, and use nebulous arguments that are not really based in or fact-based or data-based. So I think that that's what's going on and has gone on, and I just hope that this process is not rolled as it has been in the past or subverted. The intention is to be as balanced as you can so that everybody has a fair opportunity to make their voices known, but you shouldn't try to put your finger on the scale in any respect. Hey. I'm kind of curious about Cascade County, where I'm at, what part of that that you split off in your map there.
Yeah. Thanks, Casey.
Sure. Say, Casey, no, thank you. Cascade County is split off in some proposals it's whole. In that first proposal, that straight west east west line, there is 7% of it that is in the western district. Cascade, Ohm, Sun River would be in the western district in that case, but all of Great Falls, the airport, the base, that would all be in the eastern district. And that Great Falls and Bozeman, I will be open and say that those are two population centers that are basically along this sort of fault line for eastern western population. Montana's population has shifted over 100,000 people from the east to the west in the last 30 years. And so a lot of folks say that, well, you have to, you know, Bozeman has always historically been in the western district, and that's true. But in order to achieve, you need to achieve population equivalence, and you need to move one population center from the east to the, or from the west to the east to make them equal. Well, our proposals, they do move Great Falls and Bozeman for the most part to the eastern district, because those are the eastern two most population centers. The Democratic proposals all put Flathead County, Kalispell, Whitefish, and Lincoln, for the most part. They're all, four of their five put Lincoln in a, or not Lincoln, Libby, excuse me, Libby.
Well, Lincoln County, but Libby, Montana, yeah.
Yeah, Lincoln County, Libby, Montana, in a eastern district.
Yeah.
And so a good way to just look at this is, how long would it take you to drive from one side of the district to the other? And it kind of tells you all you need to know. But Casey, good question. Great Falls and would be in the east in all of our proposals. In a lot of their proposals, it would be in the western district, because they need to include that in order to put Kalispell in the east. The Democrats on the commission maps put Cascade County and Great Falls in the west the majority of the time. Republicans have it in the east.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. Real quickly, this is the congressional district. Districting process, I should say. And your deadline's upcoming. As I mentioned, folks, still get involved here. MontanaRedistricting.gov for more information. They're going to have an October 30th final meeting on this. I think you've got a Zoom meeting on the 19th. And is there a closure of a public comment deadline? Is that the 19th?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the 19th. The 19th. And I would encourage people, if they want us to view their comments fully and entirely, send it to us a couple days before the 19th. perhaps the Friday or Saturday, the week before, next Friday or Saturday, just so we have time to fully and adequately get it. If we receive it Monday night before Tuesday meeting, it's obviously, we might not see it or be able to weigh it as much. So please submit by maybe Friday or Saturday, but you can certainly weigh in person or on Zoom on Tuesday the 19th.
Good point. Have there been thousands of comments?
There's certainly been in the thousands when you combine meetings together. We've not had one meeting that has had thousands, but we've had meetings that have had hundreds, a couple different meetings with hundreds of comments.
But in total, there have been
all together.
Great.
I'd say a couple thousand probably.
I don't have time to go into this, and I know you got to get to a 10 o'clock thing here too, and I got some business to finish up. But we'll talk at some other point because you had mentioned the legislative district drawings, and those have the same criteria for the most part, maybe a little more leeway, but that you guys aren't even really beginning to consider that process, right?
Yes, great point, Tom. The legislative redistricting will go into effect for 2024, congressional next year, 2022. So we have a bit more time. So we'll finish this process. We'll get into legislative redistricting early next year, probably January, February, developing a timeline. And at that point, we'll likely come to maybe, hopefully, a community near you to talk about, your state representatives and state senators. And those districts are much more representative of you and will require a lot more detail because you're drawing 100 lines rather than just one.
Yeah, I know. Maps are cool. Numbers are not in my book. But you've got to marry them up here. And I appreciate the work of everybody on that commission, Dan. Give them all a big thanks from us and have a good weekend, okay?
Yeah, thanks so much, Tom, and you too. Go Grizz.
There you go.